It is time to go get your Bible. Go get it and open to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 and read down into the first verse of our Sunday school lesson text, which is 1 Kings 19 in verse 9. And that will get us ready for the Sunday school lesson about Elijah hears God's voice. This old Sunday school lesson I'm looking at today was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 9th, 1927. And so in just a moment, we'll begin 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as I said as we begin class, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll turn to Elam's notes. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Jehovah, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay down, and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him, and he said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake of bacon upon the coals, and a curse of water. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Jehovah came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither to a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of Jehovah came unto him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Well, Elam requested us to study first the effect of having the false prophet slain had on Jezebel. That's in this chapter, 1 Kings 19, 1 through 8. It says, And he came thither. That's from the rest of the meals under the juniper tree. Elijah came to Horeb and the mount of God unto a cave. Caves were common in that country, as we have seen. Sometimes people dwelt in them. Elijah lodged in this one. Whether he spent one night or more is not stated. The word of Jehovah came to him, and he said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? Elijah had gone there from the juniper tree in the wilderness, it seemed, from verse 7, by the direction of the angel, but he had fled from the field of action in Israel. Elijah's reply to this question in the next verse shows what he understood Jehovah meant by it. There is now, and ever will be, a mighty struggle between right and wrong, truth and error, Christ and Satan. And all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 1 Timothy 3:12. And none can retire from the fierce conflict with impunity. He who would retire from the struggle to the wilderness of idleness and ease would sacrifice God's cause and his own soul. On the other hand, the truest, bravest, and most courageous person needs, at times, rest and encouragement. Physical reaction of Elijah's mighty struggle on Carmel and the ferocity of Jezebel had depressed him, and he sought relief. God is a present help in every time of need, a stay and comfort in human weakness, and therefore he came to Elijah's assistance. Though weak, weary, and persecuted, fight on, and God will give the victory. There can be no cessation of this warfare. Now we read in 1 Kings 19 in verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. This was in replies to God's question, what he was doing there. Elijah explained while he was there, I've been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Indeed, Elijah was jealous for Jehovah. He was unwilling that any other god should be served, and had done, it seemed to him, all he could do to put down idolatry. God himself is a jealous God, forbidding idolatry, and that object or person, anything that shall be loved above himself. Baal was the sun god, and Ashtoreth was the moon goddess. They were deities of reproduction and of agriculture. The God of hosts means the God of all the heavenly host and all the intelligences in the universe, and is used in contrast with Baal and Ashtaroth. Not only had the children of Israel turned away from God and broken his covenant in worshiping idols, but they had thrown down his altars and slain his prophets, that his worship might not be restored. It is true now that he who does not gather with Jesus scatters, and he who would build up other religious institutions other than the Church of Christ does so to the detriment and destruction of that church. Elijah was discouraged. He felt that he was the only one left to plead God's cause, and God's enemies were seeking his life. Elijah's faithfulness and jealousy for God caused him to feel more sensibly and keenly the sin of Israel in forsaking God. The faithfulness and loyalty of God's people today cause them to feel more sensibly any apostasy from the truth. Some have not their senses exercised to discern good and evil, Hebrews 5:13-14. On Mount Carmel, Elijah made the statement in 1 Kings 18:22 that he was alone. The faithful at different times have been forsaken, and they've always felt it. They would not be human if they did not feel it. Paul in prison in Rome said, at my first offense, no one took my part, but all forsook me, 1 Timothy 4:16. The disciples of Jesus forsook him and fled, and on the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But there was a still, small voice. Let me read verses 11 through 14. Of 1 Kings 19. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah, And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for Jehovah, O God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Now in Elam's notes we read, God directed Elijah to go forth and stand upon the mount. On this mountaintop, God met Moses, and here he would meet Elijah. After Elijah had reached the mountaintop, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but Jehovah was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but Jehovah was not in the fire. After the fire, the still, small voice. Or as it says in the margin of the American Standard Version, a sound of gentle stillness. What lesson would God teach Elijah by all this? God was not in the rushing, roaring wind which rent the mountains and split the rocks. He was not in the crackling, quivering earthquake. He was not in the bright, blazing fire. Ahab and Jezebel were moving in pomp and pageantry, and seemingly all Israel had gone with them after Baal. Baal worship was now the state religion. God was not in the outward show and the noise and manifestations of worldly power. Ahab and Jezebel were in the majority and made the display of noise and apparent great success, but God was not there. The very kingdom itself in the beginning was a rejection of God as king, 1 Samuel 8, and was rebellion against him, and its kings were leading the people further from God. Those in error sometimes make the most noise and the greatest display. God was in His Word and with those who obeyed His voice. If this is not the lesson God would here teach Elijah, then what is it? God assured Elijah by this that he should not be discouraged by the power of these earthly kings and the fact that the great majority of the people had followed Baal. So today we should not become disheartened because majorities go contrary to God's will in religion. Unless God is in a work and upholds it, it is vain and will come to naught. Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. Psalm 127 and verse 1. These rulers were mighty like the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. But God was not with them. Elijah felt his weakness. But God was with him. When Elijah heard the voice, he recognized the presence of Jehovah, and in reverence and awe, he wrapped his face in his mantle. His mantle was his cape, perhaps his undress skin. Then he returned to the cave to receive further instruction from God, and while standing in the entrance of the cave, the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" As the verse below showed, this was a reproof for desiring to remain in quiet when God had further work for him to do. Elijah, it seemed, had not yet learned the lesson which God sought to teach him on the mountain, and so he made the same reply as before, thinking that he was the only one left. In our next lesson, we'll see how Elijah is sent back to the field of action.